All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this is our San Diego Comic-Con 2020 wrap-up episode, such as it was. You know, obviously, this podcast is not going to age well when you think about it. Everybody's going to think back to 2020 as the year when, you know, the crap really hit the fan and we were on lockdown and conventions were stopped and we had hundreds of thousands of deaths, and it was just a nightmare, divisive country, racial protesting, just a mess. The country is a mess. So really could have used a trip to San Diego, honestly, just to get out of the house, you know? And then you put on top of that that it's San Diego, and there's, you know, a lot of news coming from comic publishers and TV networks and movie studios, and just getting to hang out with your fellow fans and celebrate what you enjoy, whether that be any of the aforementioned or something completely different, cosplay, for example. But that didn't get to happen this year. So hats off to San Diego Comic-Con, Comic-Con International, for doing as much as they did for trying to give a fan experience. But it just wasn't the same. And I tried to go into it with a positive outlook. You know, it's not their fault. They're doing the best they can. But even as – and I planned on, you know, tuning in for a lot of the panels and being as engaged and as involved as I could be. But as the weekend went on, at least for me, I found it to be – and I didn't have expectations, but I did find it to be a little bit of a kind of a letdown. Like, it wasn't – as good as, you know, despite me trying not to have any expectations, I guess I did, because I was disappointed in a way. Or maybe it just didn't scratch an itch that I didn't even know I had. How did you feel about it overall, Manny? I know you didn't participate in anything on Saturday because you did get out of the house, but how did you feel about the Comic-Con at home, as it were?
Well, it was a good try, I'll say that. It was but overall, I'd have to say, just because, you know, it's something of a kind of a ritual now for the past 3 years, for me at least. And I know that for a lot of people, it's decades. It's a ritual for decades to go out there. It was a little depressing because, you know, the thing about panels is, and I know you can attest to this, is you almost don't have that genuine surprise, those kind of gotcha moments, maybe something was said that shouldn't have been said, special appearances, just that interaction with the crowd, just the electricity of the crowd. And it's nothing really that you can actually replicate online, especially with all the panels being pre-recorded, which I understand in this, you know, to try and coordinate all these people in different parts of the world at the same time during those 4 days would have been brutal. So I understand the reason why they did it that way. But at the same time, there was no kind of nothing really special about it. Like, for example, as a writer, for, you know, we were trying to get news for things for some of the shows. They do the trailers and things like that, and reveals. We got the press releases, and There's almost nothing that I got for any of the pieces that I wrote over the last few days that I didn't get from a press release rather than a panel. That's a little sad. And then also just a lot of the content that I do personally is a lot of DC content, and obviously that is being postponed until DC Fandom for August. So it was just quiet, and it was different, and I'm at home, and obviously if you have like Snapchat or Facebook, things like that, it reminds you of some of the things that you were doing during that same time the previous year. And so one of the things that came up was the party you and I went to for Lost in Space, and, you know, things like that. So yeah, obviously just very, very different. And I get it. We got to be safe, and we got to take care of ourselves so that next year we can enjoy these types of events. Hopefully, maybe we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. So I didn't realize, and I guess if I didn't stop to think about it, I didn't realize that all the panels were going to be pre-recorded. Like you said, it totally makes sense. You know, if you're, it's one thing to have everybody in the same time zone and they know when their panels are scheduled and they're all in the same room in the same place. You're trying to do that across the world. Yeah, makes it much harder. Plus, you don't know if one particular panelist or another may have technical difficulties. Maybe their internet is down. Maybe their laptop died. You know, whatever. So having it pre-recorded gives you a chance to edit, gives you a chance to solve any of those problems. So I totally get it. So like I said, I guess I just didn't stop to think about the fact that that would be the case. And like Manny said, it's not the same being pre-recorded. I think even if there isn't that give and take between audience and panelist, just the fact that they get to feed off the crowd reaction makes a difference. So obviously that is possible remotely if you do it live, but then you'd have, you know, everybody would have to be joined in to the Zoom session or whatever, you know, platform you're using, and everybody's going to have their camera on. And can you imagine 100 little boxes, you know, the creators aren't, you know, they're not going to really be able to feed off that reaction anyway. But I will say that if it was live, I do think it would have been better. I understand why it couldn't be. But just as an example, John Suntress from the Word Balloon podcast, which I highly recommend. John's a friend of mine. He's been on the show before. Does a really great kind of off-the-cuff, spontaneous show, talking to creators. John has a wealth of knowledge. I would say he's the number one comic podcaster out there. He has the number one show. He's what other podcasters would aspire to be, especially because he has access. He's been doing it so long, he knows everybody. But he put on what he called JohnCon 2020, inspired by Julie Benson and Shauna Benson, the Benson sisters, who are also friends who've been on the show before. They had talked about doing a show on Friday night, maybe doing trivia or something like that. And Julie and Shauna are like, no, why don't we just – we'll do a live podcast and we'll invite, you know, all our friends to come on and, you know, we'll just – it's just hanging out remotely, but, you know, trying to imitate kind of the after hours scene where all the creators and fans and stuff, you know, get together and just hang out. So even though the fans weren't able to interact other than, you know, typing messages on YouTube Live or Facebook Live or what have you, at least it was seeing the creators interacting live. You know, different creators would pop in and out. That was, it went on for about 4 hours on Friday night from about 6 p.m. Pacific until 10 p.m. Pacific. That was the most fun that I had this weekend in terms of just feeling the closest to actual Comic-Con, just getting to see a ton of creators that I hadn't seen in a while. You know, Tom King was there, Nicholas Scott was there, Jerry Ordway, Liam Sharp, Vita Ayala, obviously the Benson sisters who I mentioned, Tim Seeley, Amy Chu was there for a long time. I'm forgetting a bunch of people. I think Dan Jurgens was there for a little bit, but anyway, it was just a lot of fun just to see these creators, to see these friends that I haven't seen in a long time. Even though I wasn't on it, you know, they couldn't see me. Seeing them, they could see each other, and just seeing them interact and tell stories and such was just, it was a lot of fun. So I think if Comic-Con could have done something like that, that would have been better. But again, like Manny said, with, you know, talking about trying to get creators from around the world coordinated, I understand why they couldn't. So I totally get that. You know, to reiterate what Manny said also about the news, yeah, there just wasn't a lot. And you can kind of understand, like, why should a studio or a network or a comic publisher, why should they make an announcement here where it kind of not going to have much of an impact, where they can do it in other ways, the same way they do it other times of the year, where they can build it up with marketing and, you know, try to build a buzz around it instead of, you know, San Diego. Part of the reason that people announce things at San Diego is because you do have, you know, a huge chunk of fandom there that then become your kind of guerrilla marketers, as it were.
Right.
You show a trailer in Hall H, or you make some announcement, and then everybody's talking about it, and they're putting it out on social media and that sort of thing. I don't even know how many people actually showed up to watch these panels. You know what I mean? I mean, I have no way of knowing. I'm sure they were attended, but in nowhere near the numbers that you would get out of San Diego, nowhere near the excitement. So I get that as well. What I will say is that one of the big positives from doing it this way is it happens every year where it'll be like my top two panels out of, you know, maybe 20 or 30 panels that I earmark that I would like to see. Of those, I probably go to 10 or 15. And there's always at least two in my top five that conflict with each other. They overlap, or they just, or they are at the exact same time. Because everything was pre-recorded, you didn't have to worry about that. Like, you can literally go and see all the panels. Even now, like, I still didn't get to go to all the panels or watch all the panels I wanted to. Actually, my internet went out here at my house from like 3 in the afternoon on Saturday until about 7:30 that night. It was right in the middle of I was watching the humanoids panel, and it just cut out. So there's still some panels that I want to go back and see. So that was a big benefit. And it makes me wonder, now that the infrastructure and kind of the beta test has been done with this, if San Diego might not do this again next year, even if they get to have a convention, why would you not record the panels? Because we know they're recorded. Like, you know, the, what is it? I can't even remember. Is it 6DE? Where is that, the room where they always have the all the DC panels? It's the same big room every year. There's a big frickin' like movie camera in the back. It's been there every year that I've been there since 2010. Every year. So we know they're recording them. And so maybe they can do them live next year. Or if not live, at least, you know, release them after the panel's over. So you do still, you know, some shows, and this happened at Long Beach Comic Con this last year, or Long Beach Comic Expo, whatever they call it, the last show Manny and I went to in January, where some of the panels, they were asking people, hey, don't record it, don't put it out live, because it incentivizes people to come if they know they can just, you know, get all the news or listen to the panel online, or you know, especially if you're broadcasting it live. Why should they pay for a ticket if they can come? You know, why should they come pay for a ticket if they can just watch it online? San Diego doesn't have that problem and will never have that problem. They're always going to sell out no matter what. So I get it. Like, you could put it out live and it's not going to keep people from attending. But I also get that you want to kind of reward the people that are there and make them feel special. So maybe you put it out, you know, once the panel is completely finished, or a few hours after the panel is over, you know, kind of like the same way, or even the next day, you know, same way that some of these network websites don't put out things until, you know, midnight after the day that it's aired, you know. So if something comes on Tuesday, you know, at 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday, it goes up on their website or what have you. But I do think that would be a benefit, because you would still be able to reach a larger number of people and still have the content out there on the internet where more people can see it and people feel more engaged. So I will be curious to see if they continue that model, because also we have no idea where we're going to be in terms of the pandemic next year, if we'll even be able to have the convention. If they do have it, will they, you know, sell less tickets? Will it be less access? Trying to limit the number of people to encourage social distancing and such. I mean, it's just such a tough situation to be in. I've been getting emails from LA Comic Con. They're talking about still having their show in December, and they're talking about selling only 25% of the tickets that they sold last year. So instead of having, I think it was 430,000 people they had last year, and some of those are counted multiple times. You know, if somebody got a 3-day pass, they're counted, you know, three times basically. But they're talking about only having 120 passes sold this year. So I don't know. We'll wait and see what San Diego looks like next year. Of the things that were announced, Manny, is there anything that stands out in your mind that you're like, oh, I didn't know that, or, you know, there were a few announcements we did hear about New Mutants and some other things. Anything that stood out for you?
I actually the one panel I found really interesting, because it just kind of mixes a couple of things that I like together, was HBO's Lovecraft Country. Sorry, that's a show that it's going to be hitting HBO in middle of August, which kind of takes African American characters in the 50s and a Jim Crow America, and they are looking for someone, which ends up turning into them having run-ins with these mythical H.P. Lovecraftian animal monsters. And I thought that the presentation, the way they presented it, was really cool. Just really, really thorough about what the show is about. The clips and the trailer they showed was really cool. And, you know, I had heard a little bit about the show before, but seeing it all put together, I thought was really fun, and I'm really looking forward to it. And then also the New Mutants stuff was, I don't know, New Mutants has been a project that they've been trying to launch for years now, and they even poked fun at it themselves at the beginning of the panel, where they were showing the release date, cross it off, new release date, cross it off, new release date, cross it off, until they finally reached their August release date that will probably get pushed back, but we're not there yet. Let's not jump to conclusion just yet. So things like that, and then what else? The panel for the second season of The Boys is always a lot of fun. Just because the cast is they seem to have a good time with it. I know that live they were a lot more fun last year when I was in that press room. That was a lot more entertaining, obviously, than the virtual one. And so I'm really looking forward to that second season. And then at the end, Seth Rogen came on and announced that they had been renewed for a third season.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Manny, but again, so these panels, like I said, they're still available online. I would encourage everybody to go watch, especially if you're a fan of The Boys, but even if you're not, at least go watch the beginning of that panel, because they show this scene from season two that is just like, you could tell that it was the first time the actors had seen it in its, you know, final version with special effects and editing and music and everything. And their reaction was awesome for them to see that, even having filmed it and knowing what was going to happen. Their reaction was awesome. And, that was a lot of fun. It brought a smile to my face.
Yeah, that was like I said, they have a lot of fun with it. So those things really stuck out to me, and that's about it. Not too much else was really that crazy and exciting. I tried to get into the two DC small panels that they had with some of the stories that they were going to be telling, but more interesting than that, I found Tom Taylor's post on Twitter and stuff, where he's kind of teasing a new project with By Now. Given the letters, I think we all know that it's hopefully like a third season of Injustice.
Yep, definitely.
And so, there were some other things around Comic-Con that they did too that were really good, not necessarily associated with. I know Xbox had a big presentation, and they had that open world Halo Infinite reveal, which I'm very excited about. And then also Zack Snyder, along with a couple of other partners, put on Justice League Con over the weekend, and they showed off the Superman that they wanted to put out there, which was a Superman in a black suit, which Warner Brothers told him no, he couldn't do it, which I find very, very disheartening. And then also finding out that his Justice League is going to be really long. And most interestingly enough, out of everything I found out through that, was that his version of Justice League is not going to have any Josh Whedon scenes in it. So that definitely raises my level of interest very high to get to see that project. Other than that, I don't think there's anything else that comes to mind. Utopia on Amazon Prime, I think it is. That's going to be. That looks like it's going to be a really good series as well.
Yeah, as much as I don't like Zack Snyder and his vision for the DC universe, I have to admit I'm really curious to see what this would look like. I have a feeling it'll fit more into the tone and the movies that we've had before that I haven't liked either. But I am curious. I am curious to see what the reaction will be. A couple things that I'll mention that you didn't. So we got a trailer for Bill and Ted Face the Music, right? Wasn't that associated or had that come out before? I hadn't seen it before.
Yeah, it actually came out on. It came out on Thursday, but it came out ahead of Comic-Con. Right. We had a social media blast with that one.
Right. Yeah.
For that morning.
Yeah. So that was interesting. A couple other things that we. That we saw as well that I think came out before. There was a Boom announced that Keanu Reeves and Matt Kent are doing a comic book series together.
That's right.
So I think that I don't think by any means Keanu Reeves is writing it, but I think or or scripting it, but I think he is collaborating with Matt Kent to create this strip called Berserker. So that's pretty exciting. So a lot of Keanu Reeves news. One of the other panels I watched was the IDW panel, which was really strange. You know, we mentioned them being recorded ahead of time. Well, Chris Ryle, who we just found out last week had left IDW, was, you know, he didn't run the panel, but he was one of, you know, the main people on the panel. And so that was really strange, seeing Chris talking about all these IDW properties when we know he's not even with the company anymore. You know, he comes on and says, yeah, I'm president, publisher, and, you know, chief creative officer, but he's not. So that was kind of, I don't know, that was just weird. Like many said, there were a few other comic panels. The Undiscovered Country panel with Scott Snyder and Charles Soule and Giuseppe Camicola was interesting. The two DC panels they did. But again, it was not really any news that we hadn't heard before, with maybe the exception of some news about Dark Metal from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo in terms of things about the King Robin and how he came up with that character and things like that, but nothing that was like what you would consider a normal buzzworthy comic announcement. And like Manny said, DC has their own thing, Fandome, coming up in August, so I'm sure a lot of things were, you know, are being planned out to wait. We did get some news that came out. Again, it wasn't announced at Comic-Con, but Newsarama put out something about Everlasting Winter, I think is what it's called. They said that that's going to be DC's next big project, next big crossover. And then we had some DC people going, what? That's news to me. But then the next day, they confirmed it. I don't know if because it leaked, they decided to go ahead and confirm it, but I'm sure we'll find out a lot more of that. More about that on the Fandome. And then Marvel, man, they hardly had anything. I went and watched a couple Marvel panels, and they, you know, they just talked about how what's going on currently, but didn't really tease anything going forward. More of the Marvel news, there were two panels that I watched, one with Paul Scheer and some other directors about a show. I want to say it's on Amazon Prime. It's on Disney Plus. Sorry, of course it's on Disney Plus. But it's called the 616 Universe, or Marvel 616. And it's basically these different directors and content creators going around and talking to different people about different aspects of the universe. They're like little mini documentaries. And then the other thing that I watched was, I think it was called Storytellers or Storyboards or something like that, with Joe Quesada. And that one's on Hulu, I'm not mistaken, and also on Marvel YouTube. But it's kind of the same thing. Like Quesada goes around and talks to people that have connections to the Marvel universe, and it's just almost like an interview type show. So the first episode's already out. It's with Hugh Jackman, and it's basically Quesada just sitting down to talk with Hugh Jackman, unscripted, just a nice way to tie in with the Marvel universe. He says, you know, everybody's got stories to tell, and he's out there getting to tell their story. So that was interesting. Those are a couple of the things that I noticed. They also, I know that there's a Star Trek cartoon coming out on Nickelodeon. I've known that for a while because the aforementioned Julie Benson and Shauna Benson are writers on the show. They've actually already finished their writing, but they didn't even know that Nickelodeon and CBS, who owns Star Trek, were going to be announcing the name of the series. So it's called Star Trek Prodigy. And we know it's coming out next year. We don't have a firm date yet for that. We heard a little bit about Star Trek Lower Decks, which is another Star Trek series. It's kind of, you think about like a cross between Star Trek and Adult Swim. So it's kind of comedic. But it's kind of intended for a more mature audience, I guess you'd say. So that there was a lot of good reception and buzz about that. Manny already mentioned Zack Snyder. He mentioned Keanu Reeves. So those were the things that stuck out in my mind.
So the one thing, there's two things I forgot. One was Hulu's Hellstrom, which is from Marvel, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, I did watch that panel. That show looks creepy. I don't really watch
it. It looks good.
too many TV shows, but that one might suck me in.
Yeah, that one looked pretty good. I like the clip that they showed. I like that clip that they showed better than the New Mutants clip that they showed. I thought it was, I just liked it better. And then the other thing was, on Friday night, they announced the Eisners, and I wanted to give a shout out to David F. Walker, Chuck Brown, Stanford Green for their ongoing series win on Bitterroot from over at Image. I jumped out of my chair a little bit when they made that announcement. Phil Lamar was hosting, and I was very, very happy for them. That is such a well done book. If you go back to some of our episodes, Bitterroot was usually one of my picks of the week when picking books, recommending books for you guys. So I was very happy to see that they got the win for best ongoing series.
Yeah, that was another thing. I mean, kind of cool that the Eisners went so quickly, you know, done in like 40 minutes as opposed to, you know, 3 or 4 hours. I do think it kind of tends to drag. But at the same time, I feel bad for those that won. We really didn't get to have the full experience, right? Go up there, give an acceptance speech and that kind of thing. There wasn't, again, there just wasn't the give and take. There wasn't the richness that you would normally see. So that was a little bit disappointing as well. So, but I think that's about it. That's about all we have to say about this. Manny and I, we did decide to do a couple of top 10 lists. Manny did the top 10 things we didn't miss about Comic-Con, and I did the top 10 things we did miss. So did you put yours in order, Manny?
No, I didn't, actually, just because there's one that's the last one, and it's the biggest one. So that one I did put last, and I think it's the one thing I heard from everybody, that they were their one saving grace of, this was the one good thing about this year. All right, well, the rest of them are not in any particular order. Yeah. And they're not necessary. Some of them, I'm going to say, there's a lot of them, they're just first world problems. And not necessarily things that are like, oh my God, that is actually pretty bad.
Yeah, I kind of tried to put mine in order, but I don't know. Other than number one being the number one thing that we missed, I don't know. The other ones are probably kind of interchangeable. So let's do it this way. You give your number 10, and then I'll give my number 10, and then you give your number 9, I'll give my number 9, and we'll just go down. We'll go down the line. So you kick it off. The number 10 thing we did not miss about San Diego Comic-Con.
Number 10 thing I have on here is crossing Harbor Drive and Park Boulevard. Oh, my God. There
waiting
is a train.
The damn train.
There is traffic. Well, last year they cut down the traffic, but then on Park, because it's the entrance, it's where everybody gets in through the back to get to the convention center or the guests and stuff, and you have the hotel on the left. It is and then also just because it's right there, that's also where people cross in when they're going to go into Hall H. It is the absolute worst. There's nowhere within 10, like, if you're on the other side of the street, you need to get to the other side on either of these places, it's a 15-minute wait. That's just it. It is the worst.
All right. Well, the number 10 thing that we didn't miss at San Diego Comic-Con, I put down the atmosphere of fellow fans. Whether they're fans of comics, whether they're fans of TV, movie, cosplay, Legos, Hot Wheels, you know, whatever, they collect original art, you know, whatever it is, whatever the reason they are there, even if you don't share their particular fandom, just being there in that atmosphere with the fellow fans and everybody's there to have a good time and, you know, they're walking around the gas lamp and just having a good time. Like that atmosphere, that good time party atmosphere was definitely missed this year. So that's my number 10.
So I'll pair that up with my number 9 is walking on the show floor now on any day. Unless it's like right when they open or near close to when they close, it is, especially some of those center places where they have some of the bigger bigger booths and kind of interactions and things inside, it is so difficult to walk. And so you kind of pick and choose when you want to walk Because I just remember trying to get to, from last year's DC Warner Media booth to the Image booth, and the hassle that is, and how long it takes. This is again more things about distance and things like that. But man, it is just hard to walk inside. And I mean, I get it. There's some people who this is the first time, or maybe that's their only day, and you stop and gaze. But then there's some people who stop to take a picture in the middle of the aisle. People yeah. who stop and chat in the middle of the aisle. It's like, look, get to the side, go to one of the halls, get out of the way, please.
Yeah, especially when it's a big, like, say it's two groups of four people that meet up that haven't seen each other in a while, and they stand in a yeah. They stand in a circle to talk, and they're taking up practically the whole aisle, man. It's like, move. Yeah, definitely don't miss that. My number nine for things we did miss is the press rooms slash activations. So, you know, again, like Manny said, this is first world problems, but the fact that we're pressed, we get into things like the Expanse activation last year, which is, you know, really cool. Manny's done the Jack Ryan activation before. He specifically mentioned the Boys press room, how much fun that was. You know, I've done press rooms with, you know, Lost in Space and, you know, interviews with other creators, Kevin Conroy and, you know, other voice actors and such. Those are a lot of fun, getting some FaceTime, getting some time with the actors and the creators. You know, not only does it provide information for us to create content with and share that information with all the fans out there, it's just fun to be a part of. And some of those activations are really, really cool. So the fact that we didn't get any of those this year, yeah, that kind of stinks.
So, again, I'm going to pair mine up with what you just said, because without a doubt, you remember a couple years ago how much I fangirled when I first met Kevin Conroy when he signed my 24-inch Batmobile. And now I think it's been three or four times for three different things that I've sat with him and talked to him. And now I'm to the point where I'm like, dude, I don't know what I'm going to talk to him about anymore. It's like, how do you feel about talking about Batman for yet another year? I don't know. So, yeah, but still, it's a way different experience. Very, very privileged and very, very grateful for it. But my next one is going to be scheduling those press rooms and interviews. This all starts about a month to the day of whenever we have these interactions or these appointments. we usually get feelers out from the studios or the comic book properties. Then you get a list, wants, who do you want, what do you want, these are the times available, can you do this activation, can you cover this, can you cover that, and it's just a back and forth of filling up your schedule. Then all of a sudden there's something you want to do, but you've already filled in that time slot, you have to make the tough decision which one you want to do, you don't want to let anybody down. And then the day of those interviews, you have to make sure you're there 10-15 minutes, but again, depending on how much traffic you have to get through, sometimes you're running late, sometimes you're running early, the talent's running late, which now puts you late to your next appointment, and it is what I call fun stress.
Yeah, it's definitely herding cats doing all that kind of stuff, so you got to be ready and willing to pivot on the fly for sure. My number eight kind of goes with that. Just in terms of like professional opportunity, and that's networking. Like every time we go to one of these shows, it's always a chance to meet other press, to meet people that are doing PR, and just get our names out there so we can get more access and, you know, show that we care and we do a good job, which then leads to bigger opportunities in the future. So didn't get that this year. And so that, right. you know, being able to take the next step in terms of coverage is something that's, you know, always in the back of my mind, at least trying to improve and get better access. So kind of sad that we didn't get that opportunity this year.
Yeah, definitely agree. I've made some really good friends that I always look forward to seeing at different, you know, at the different shows. You meet up with them again and again. Some of them we've even become close enough where we try to compare notes on what we've received, what we haven't received. And then kind of keep a lookout for each other and make sure that we all get good access. And then we help each other out. So shout out to James and Josh. Those two guys have been very, very helpful for me in the past 2 years. With that said, this also connects to that. And I know you've had this. And hopefully I've never been that. I feel like I haven't. But I'm going to say it's having a bad apple in a round table interview. That's happened. What I mean by that is, so a round table interview pretty much is where, because of the number of outlets that want to reach out to a creator with a guest, they put 5 or 6 people on a table with each guest, and then they rotate the guest for that property. And, everybody gets to go around and gets a turn to ask a question. Every now and then you get somebody who, number one, has the dumbest questions. Questions that are not appropriate for that moment or for what they're there for, or just really just bad people. And you know, sometimes you can rub the talent the wrong way to where it kind of ruins the experience for them and for you.
Yeah, drunk people. Not good.
You had a drunk person?
Well, they either have a very strange attitude or, yeah,
they were drunk. Oh, wow.
And it's not the first time we've heard of that. We've heard of people getting thrown out of press rooms for being drunk.
Right. Yeah, my favorite one was where this one guy was correcting the talent and the director of the product on how to pronounce something. Multiple times, and we're just sitting there going, what are you doing, man? That was funny and really scary at the same time.
Another thing that we missed, and actually this could probably go on either list in a way, and that's exclusives. They're a pain in the butt, and trying to get them is maybe something you don't miss, but just the fact that we didn't even have the opportunity. And not only that, is there were a lot of places that didn't even bother to create exclusives. There were some places, IDW and DC and such, that still did create exclusives, and they were available online. But, you know, we did miss out on the opportunity. Maybe we take that opportunity, maybe we don't. But you do see some really cool stuff. And, you know, irregardless of whether you want to get it or not, the fact that it exists, it's cool to just, you know, look at. And so we didn't get that chance this year. So that's something we missed for sure.
So it was funny because you and I did not share lists before this. But next on my list was missing out on exclusives and signings.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about because getting them. You're talking about we definitely didn't miss out on – we didn't miss missing out on them.
So, like, it's just like, you know, before, get there early, get a ticket. You get it, you don't. And now it's this, like, weird lotto thing that I have never got a single thing for the past 3 years. And it's so annoying. And then even some things that maybe aren't necessarily exclusive to Comic-Con, but they'll be first available at Comic-Con. Last year, for example, I wanted the limited edition Slim Jim Macho Man action figure. And between trying to do my job at the convention and just being tired and things like that, I couldn't get it. But luckily for me, one of my good friends, Roman, was able to get one. And then he sold it to me at a very, very reasonable price, and I own my figure.
Wait, I thought you found one on Sunday.
Yes, we did, and it was I think we saw it for $90.
Oh, that's right.
It was like go to hell, yeah. Because that was on sale. The original price was $35.
Yeah, you're right. All right, next thing I have on my list of things that we missed, it kind of goes hand in hand with the first one I mentioned, atmosphere of fellow fans, but the camaraderie of panels. Because I mentioned kind of the atmosphere no matter what you're there for. When you're talking about the camaraderie of the panels, now you are in line with somebody who is there for, you know, to see the same thing you want to see. Maybe it's the Batman panel, maybe it's the Mythbusters panel, maybe it's the Flash CW show panel, Supergirl, whatever it might be. You know, that you're there in line with that person. You know, you're sitting in the panel room with those people that are fans of the same thing that you're fans of. And, you know, you get to see a lot of times things that are seen for the first time, whether that be, you know, clips from the show, a trailer for a movie, artwork for a comic or a comic that's been announced. And, you know, being there with fellow fans of that same thing and sharing that excitement is something that's very unique to Comic-Con, more so than any other show. New York Comic-Con comes close, again, because those are the biggest ones. But you don't really get that anywhere else, that same level of excitement and everybody kind of pulling in the same direction. And it's a lot of fun and definitely one of the things I missed this year.
So one of the things I don't miss about that, and again, weird coincidence, is you talked about it a little bit actually in the beginning. I don't miss the fact that I had to choose from one panel to another at the same damn time. Maybe there was. I know sometimes you and I split them, and then we record them for each other so that we can get the most out of both of them. But I mean, with how big the event is and how big the programming is from year to year, you're gonna miss a couple of things. And I don't miss that, because sometimes you find out what they did at this panel and you're like, oh no, or the panel you decided to attend to ends up not being very good.
They gave away what? And, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Who showed up? Just a lot of, I do not miss that at all.
Yeah. That feeling that you missed out on something. Next thing is cosplay. And granted, the last couple of years, the cosplay, the amount, the volume seemed to go down at San Diego, but you still see some of the best cosplay there. You know, some of these professional cosplayers are people that it's their number one hobby. They work all year. They work 360 days, 361 days for, you know, the day after Comic-Con ends, they're working on their costume for the following year. And they have so much passion and so much talent, and they work so hard at it, and it pays off when you see these incredible costumes, whether it's Transformers or Wonder Woman or Naruto or the White Queen or Lex Luthor, whatever it is. It's just awesome. You don't see cosplay to that level of quality anywhere, at least I haven't, than San Diego. And, you know, I didn't get to see that this year. I mean, that's something that really can't be replicated, even online. And, you know, as much as I feel bad for people that lost out on revenue and such, I feel bad for those cosplayers too, man, that spent money and worked really hard looking towards San Diego and debuting that costume. I can only hope that now that a lot of these people are going to have 2 years to work on their costume, that the cosplay next year at San Diego is completely, completely off the hook. Best cosplay ever. So I guess we'll see. What do you have up next, Manny?
And the next thing is the spacing of the event. Some things are at the Marriott, some things are at the Hilton, some things are on the main floor, some things are in the panel room, some things are at the Oney Hotel. Some things are in a remote location around the gas lamp area that you have to walk to. The spacing of everything, I get it. It's a huge event. And it is, when you gotta be at one thing to another, and I mean, there's been times where I have to go from the Hilton to a panel, back to the Hilton, back to a booth for an interview, and it is just back and forth.
Yep.
And just so much walking. I think one of the nights that you and I were going from the Marriott back to our Airbnb, I mean, it's not that far, but I said screw it, and I took an Uber anyway.
you sure did. I walked, but but yeah, I mean, you're right. And again, I know it sounds like first world problems or whatever, but it's totally true. And now there's even the Comic-Con Museum, which is not even in the gas lamp. So last year I had to leave I got to stay for the Expanse activation, but then I had to leave right after, and I didn't get to go to the other activation for the FX show. What's it called? The one with Orlando?
No, you actually missed out on both the Carnival Row and the boys.
Yeah.
And then I think you were even going to go do Shazam, if I'm not mistaken, for the video release.
Yeah, I was going to go. I was hoping to do that and get to Shazam. But by the time I did the Expanse, you guys got in line for Carnival Row activation. I left, had to walk back to our condo, get my car, drive all the way to the Comic-Con museum to check out the Batman exhibit, which was super awesome and super cool. But it was so big and there was so much to cover there that by the time I got back, there was only like 15 or 30 minutes left of the Shazam thing. So I was like, I'm not going to bother to do that. So yeah, again, it's one of those things. There's so much going on. You can never do it all. And it's just gotten so big. Everything is spread out. So yeah, first world problems, but don't miss that traveling around and the aching feet.
yeah.
You touched on this before when you were talking about people and the crowds and the aisles and whatever. One thing that we missed is just seeing the booths and the display and the artwork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always especially enjoy the sideshow booth and getting. I mean, these are statues that are so expensive. I'm never going to be able to afford them. I'm never going to be able to buy them. So being able to see them up close in person and take a bunch of pictures and, you know, put them online for other people to see. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks to miss out on that for sure. Something I look forward to. That and the DC booth and the Marvel booth with the action figures. And DC usually has costumes from the movies and, you know, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And yeah, we missed out on Lego. Always has some giant Lego figures put together. And yeah, we missed out on that this year for sure.
Mm-hmm. So one thing we didn't miss out on is the lack of sleep. from the moment we get there on Wednesday, we go to sleep at what, 1 or 2 a.m. on Wednesday, 1 or 2 a.m. on Thursday, 1 or 2 a.m. on, no, once it gets Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's like 3.
Yeah.
And we need to be up. We need to be up by 6:30 to not only prep for the day, but try to put up some content, try to record things,
yep.
and try to somehow fit coffee inside of us because a lot of our appointments start at 9 a.m.
Yeah, at least you get to take the train back, man. I got to drive back.
I even stopped every two hours to sleep.
Oh, yeah, definitely don't miss that. So that's funny. It's funny. We did not collaborate on these lists at all, guys. I promise you. But my number four, or three rather, is bunking with the LRM crew. And yeah, all that crazy chaos that we do, the late nights coming home after the parties and, you know, subsisting on licorice and smoked almonds and peanut butter jelly sandwiches and whatever food I happen to make for the Valiant Poker Party. And, you know, running back and forth and, you know, trying to swap keys to get into the condo and just, you know, talking.
Passing out on couches.
yeah, sleeping on the couch and hanging out with the guys and just, you know, knowing we're all in the same boat. We're all super tired, but we're all there because we love the fandom. Yeah, I mean, it's the one time a year I see the editor and the,
right,
you know, and see Michael from LRM. Who, you know, kind of runs the technical side of things as well as some of the content that we produce.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely sucks that we missed out on that this year. All right, what's your number two?
Number two is the Monday after. Because I don't know about you, Jace. I think you – do you go back to work that Monday? Because I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last year I went back with about – 3 hours of sleep, 2 or 3 hours, and same thing the year before.
Yeah, so same as you. Take the train back all evening through the night. And last year I got back to my hometown of Madera 6:30 in the morning. I was in my office chair by 9. And everyone's like, "How was your vacation?" And I'm like, "Go to hell."
Yeah,
the words were a lot more, they're flamboyant, but it's like, we don't have to go there.
Yeah, definitely don't miss the lack of sleep. But one thing we did miss contributes to that lack of sleep, and that's the parties. Again,
oh, I know it's yeah. Jesus.
First world problems, but the fact that we get invited to these parties because we know people, or they're industry parties, or they're parties that anybody can go to that we go to. You know, whether it's for Lost in Space or Pennyworth or Webtoon or you know, the more private intimate parties like the Valiant Poker Night. It's fun. It's fun to go to the parties. It's fun to hang out with fellow creators and talent where we're not asking them questions. The pressure's off. Everybody kind of can just let down their guard and relax and just have fun and enjoy being there and you know, have some cocktails. And yeah, I won't lie, man. The free booze is great.
Oh, it's my God.
Especially the Pennyworth party last year. Yeah, that was awesome meeting the guy, Jack, right? Is his name that played
his name was Jack Bannon.
Yeah, Jack Bannon. He was awesome to meet. So yeah, that kind of stuff. It's great. It's irreplaceable. It's priceless.
Right.
And you would think it would be my number one, but my number one is even more of why I go to Comic-Con every year. So we'll get there, but let's hear Manny's number one. I have a feeling I might know what it is. Well, let's see if I'm right.
It's everyone's number one. And in the words of Krusty Krab, money!
There you go, I knew it.
You yep. save so much money. Because despite being pressed, not everything is free. Your coffee, if you decide to go to a nice dinner for whatever reason, if you just want to get away for a little bit, if you want to buy certain exclusives, if you want to do anything on your trip there, you don't just show up to San Diego. All the planning that goes into it, and that takes time and money. You spend so much money. We are very privileged to have some of our expenses taken care of. But Jesus Christ, if I don't spend, I don't even know how much money that I did not spend this year. And therefore, I'm not associating that this is the reason why I didn't have it before. But, you know, now this year, I'm going to brag a little bit. I don't care. I have a new car. So, but I mean, it's easily $500-$600 that I can throw down. And then the amount of bags that I take back afterwards with things that just sit in a closet.
Yeah, I agree. I did try to spend some money this weekend to try to support. So I bought some stuff from the Hex Girls. I bought some stuff from Hero Online. I bought some stuff from Graffiti just to try to – I mean, I spent nowhere near what I would have, but I did try to
spend some
money for sure. So my number one thing that we missed out on San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm sure Manny knows what this is, it's hanging out with my friends, with the creators that I know at the – you know, whether it's at the bar, whether it's at the con, you know, whatever it is, at the pool with Joshua Dysart, whatever it might be, just seeing people that some of these people, I only see them once. Lee Bermejo, one of my favorite artists and a guy I've gotten to know over the years who I really enjoy hanging out with. I see him once a year. He lives in Italy. I see him once a year and it's at San Diego Comic-Con. Nicola Scott, same thing. Sweetheart. Had her on the show many times. She's an awesome, awesome lady, a super talented creator. I get to see her once a year, and it's at San Diego Comic-Con. And so the fact that I didn't get to see my friends, the fact that we didn't get to hang out and have some drinks and just be in each other's company and catch up with what's been going on for the last year, far and away, the number one thing that we missed out on Comic-Con. And it's what I saw a lot of people saying over the weekend, like, you know, as much as I complain about convention, you know, and this is from the talent side of things, the creator side. Yeah, as much as I complain about conventions and it being hectic and busy and putting me behind on my work schedule and having to take these meetings and do press and blah, 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 and my feet hurt. And like, I'm not going to complain anymore because at least, you know, it's an opportunity to see everybody. And we did not get that this year. And it, like I said, it's part of why John Suntris from Word Balloon did that John Con, and people got to hang out, and it wasn't anywhere near as good, but you could just see, like, it goes even farther this year than another year where maybe you don't make San Diego Comic-Con, you don't get to go for whatever reason because you weren't there. This year there was no San Diego Comic-Con, so, you know, everybody's in the same boat. But it's not only that, it's the fact that we've all been stuck in our houses. So it's not even that we haven't seen our friends. We haven't seen anybody. We're all starved for human contact at this point. And if you're, you know, starved for human contact, who would you prefer to hang out with? Who would you prefer to spend time with? Of course, your friends. And I haven't seen Manny's in 6 months either, over 6 months.
Since the last con, yeah, which was
in LA. January.
Yeah, Long Beach.
Long Beach, yeah, Long Beach Comic Expo. So – yeah, seeing friends far and away, the worst part about no San Diego Comic-Con this year, without question.
Yeah, I mean, just I always look forward to seeing everyone, whether it's the people in the press, whether it's, you know, the Top Cow. You know, the first place I always run to is the Top Cow booth. Run over to the Hex booth. Run over to say hi to different people all over the show floor on Wednesday. Just because you're so excited to see everyone, because, you know, shows is really where you see, you know, while you're talking, even if it's your initial conversation, what's your first thing? What's your next show? And, where are you going to be at next? Because the anticipation of seeing those people again, I understand that pop culture is a very, very accepted thing now, but it's still nowhere near the level of the fandom of the people that you see at the shows. I know you and I have the greatest time, especially like on Sundays after all our obligations are complete, and we start going through all the comic book boxes and searching for treasures, things that are on our list that we're going to add to our collections. And I mean, having dinner afterwards with, I know a couple years ago we had one dinner with Josh Dicehart and with Dinesh Shamdasani. And then another time we had dinner with Liam Sharp, and then other with just our friends who from Brave Comics, Andy and David Barron. I mean, just the names are endless. But it's just Wednesday through Sunday. It's your almost like second family that you only really see at Thanksgiving or Christmas, because that's kind of what it is. It's a celebration of everything we love throughout the year that sometimes we're even persecuted for, just because it's for quote unquote kids, you know?
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this wrap up of San Diego Comic-Con 2020. Quite surreal. It was Comic-Con at home. Hopefully it's there next year. And hopefully we see our friends there and have listeners that come up to us. And definitely we're there. So as we always say for any con we're at, if you're a listener, if you're a fan, definitely come up and say hi. We love meeting listeners and hearing about your feelings about the podcast. So thanks for joining, everybody. Any last thoughts, Benny?
Yeah, the last thing I'll mention is in support of Comic-Con, I am buying a trade paperback from Hex. There's one thing I love to do, something that actually you installed to me, and for some reason I keep doing it, is I love buying people the first trade of Hex comics. And this year, since I don't have somebody in mind, what we're going to do in one of these next shows is we'll do a giveaway for one, and just to support them a little bit more. So keep an eye out for that.
All right, everybody, keep an eye out for that. We'll definitely be announcing it on social media when you need to listen and how you can win. So, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.